WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution, an online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling. Hosted by Tim Stein.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
The Intern.
Lita, wait, I was hoping you could give me some advice on tonight. I know you have a lot of experience taking on five guys at once.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You can't say shit on the internet.
We've only been on the air for 9 minutes.
You can't say shit on the internet?
No. Reprehensible, you bunch of potty mouths.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR, Sunday night.
2 days, you sick sucker! Hey everyone, WTR Sunday Night is back.
Yeah, after like 2, 3, something like that.
It's been a minute. They're back to talk SummerSlam and more.
I'm not Omega. He's off for the next few weeks. Taking his spot for now is the Intern.
So this is what the world looks like outside of the corner. It's so bright.
Enjoy it while it lasts. You're going to be back in that corner sooner or later. Keishi is here.
At least I have my cookies.
Keishi is here as well.
Yeah. Still, I mean, I thought this was a corner. So, yeah.
He has his own little corner. It's called and other things. No, we don't have to give him a raise. He's just, it's part of his duties. And then, cool. And then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If I sound a little bit different, it's because I've been double vaxxed as of yesterday, and I'm suffering from what you call side effects.
Oh, so you got the 5G upgrade.
I am now able to use my cell phone anywhere. No tower required.
Hey, welcome to the 21st century.
Da-da-da-da!
Question though, Brent, is it really 5G in Canada? I mean,
yes, it is 5G in Canada. What do you?
No, it's 5A.
5A, okay.
There we go.
Keishi, you're in Canada. You're supposed to be on my side.
I know, but it was funny. I'm more or less disappointed that I didn't think of it.
All right, Keishi, corner. I mean, keep it warm for Brent.
I was pretty sure I was already here, so.
Oh, I see. So you're calling WTR the corner.
I'm calling me the corner of WTR.
You make a great corner, man.
Yeah.
Is it a cornerstone, though?
I mean, I hold things up, so I'm like a corner paperweight.
More like a keystone. Just saying. So, yeah, that's our show tonight. Thanks for joining us. Oh, wait, we got some shit to talk about.
There is actual stuff to talk about. There's a pay-per-view this Saturday. Yeah, I said...
No. Got switched to the next day.
That's next Sunday. There's a SummerSlam, or some back in the day called it Summerfest.
Wait a minute. It's next Saturday?
It's next Saturday.
Why is it on Saturday?
No one knows.
So wait, is this, Is this so the U.S. I version can... of Triple Mania?
Yes.
Is it going to be better than Triple Mania?
The jury's still out.
It depends on whether or not you're a WWE fanboy.
I mean, or a rational thinker.
Or a rational thinker. They also fired Ric Flair, so Ric Flair won't be at SummerSlam, but he was at Triple Mania doing the figure four on Conan.
72 years old.
Watched.
72 years old, and he can throw punches better than you guys.
Woo.
Man should still not be anywhere near a ring right now. Just saying.
Yeah, no, you did it wrong, Rock. It's woo!
I was like, woo?
No.
It was with a question mark. It's woo?
At 72, I'm surprised it's not woo!
I mean, it probably is.
Yeah, it might be.
It might be when he gets to the back. He might be winded.
There you go. Yeah, blown up, and he's not even wrestling.
He's not Shane McMahon. What are you guys talking about?
Or the Ultimate Warrior. Oh, that was mean.
Or Brock.
Yeah, Brock got a little red most of the time, didn't he?
I mean, he got real sweaty.
Yeah. Lashley's right about up there, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, that dude needs to stay hydrated.
They both do. Absolutely.
He does the Triple H thing where he just chugs a bottle of water down to the ring just to make sure he's still hydrated by the time he gets there.
Except he doesn't spit it out because he needs it.
Exactly.
What did Rob Van Dam say about Triple H? Nobody spits water like him?
Sure.
I think so.
Very obscure fact, I guess.
So, anybody else vaccinated?
Yo, since February.
Yeah.
If memory serves, needles have been in my arm.
That's not a bad thing. I'm not a proponent of mandatory forced vaccinations. That's against the Nuremberg Code. But if you can get vaccinated, you know, it's not a bad idea.
Do your part, America and Canada. Stop it.
Because it's going nuts.
Woo.
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 Whoa. Whoa.
God. Wow.
He's not Tim here was... right now, but leave a message. He'll get back to you.
Oh, I thought Tim was going to drop the you know it just so we had the full thing, but no.
No, he went. What was his name? Joey. What was his name?
Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence.
Awesome. Wow. And that just shows how old I am.
We're just aging ourselves tonight. Yeah. Hitting that key. High demo.
I'll tell you, those Tonka toys.
I'm just going to move on. Speaking of the demo, AEW wants to get the demo and just grab it by the throat and just crush it. Because they're bringing back the best in the world.
According to whom?
Everyone.
Everyone.
Including most people on the AEW roster, if you listen to their promos.
So he's going to go and steal another one of Jericho's gimmicks?
Sure. But yeah, Punk is back, maybe, sort of. They're not officially saying it, but also.
He is expected to be on the commentary table next Friday for the second edition of Rampage, which, by the way, Rock, I watched.
I know you watched. We'll get to that in a second. No, who's going to be on the commentary table? Punk's not going to be. Jericho will be. But Punk is supposed to be there.
Mark Henry. Or they'll make it a five-man.
I was going to say, they're going to try the first five-man booth because, you know, more is better.
Clearly.
That sounds like a WCW thing.
At least they only want the three. But yeah, they booked an arena in Chicago 3 weeks before they're supposed to be in Chicago for a pay-per-view. Coincidence? I think not.
Maybe not.
As the run sheet says, how big a splash will Punk make in his AEW debut next Friday? Brent?
Well, it depends what you mean splash. Are you talking about impact on the show itself? Are you talking about ratings? Are you talking about... Because in terms of ratings, yeah, he's going to get a pop. They've announced it for, I want to say, what, 3 weeks now?
Mm-hmm.
And they've made all the references. It leaked on the internet. Everything is pointing to Punk showing up. Although, as we've talked about, if he doesn't, God help us.
If he doesn't, God help Tony Khan.
The internet will be so riding those pitchforks and going, where's CM Punk? Casey, where is he? Why, if he doesn't show up?
In his house in Chicago laughing?
We want Punk.
But they say that at every show. They say that at like a PWG show. It doesn't matter if there's, you know, anytime they go near Chicago, CM Punk. Anytime they go to commercial, CM Punk. Anytime, you know, the vendor shows up with Pepsi, CM Punk.
Boy, that's some kind of hype to have to live up to. Holy shite.
I mean, they're calling it the most must-see television event, wrestling television event in a long-ass time. Is it going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be a spike. What did Rampage do viewer-wise? 985,000?
That's not even a number, no.
Okay.
The rating doesn't come out till tomorrow, because Nielsen doesn't do ratings over the weekend. They wait till Monday.
I was just wondering.
No, it's a question. AEW was doing around 500 to 600 when they had Dynamites on Fridays earlier in the year.
And mm-hmm. This is a later night time slot for them as well, which could eat into that number.
How many people watch SmackDown switch over to AEW at immediately afterwards?
That's what they're hoping for? Because SmackDown is going to do around 2.1, 2.2, probably, which is a high rating for them this past week.
Although, if you listen to certain people on the interwebs, that number is going to drop severely after you see things that will affect it.
That's why I cut it back down to 2.1 and 2.2, not 2.5 and 2.6, which was the number that was put out originally. I already cut it back to what they had been doing.
I don't understand ratings.
See, you have to hit the certain demo, because they're all curious about this demo. I love ratings talk where it's like, oh, but this show has a lot more views, but hey, they have half the people in this demo. Like, don't you want the most eyeballs?
I mean, I would think that more eyeballs better, but I guess if you...
But no, Rick, you want that money-spending demo, even though, you know, everyone spends money. I guess only some money is good.
Yeah. I'm sure the hype will be real, and I'm sure that the eyeballs will be on Rampage because of the quote unquote leak. But I mean, long term, who knows? Obviously they're trying to do something to get eyeballs on the show, whether it be people who switch over after SmackDown or laxed wrestling fans or wrestling fans in general, or people that exclusively just like CM Punk.
They're trying to get in the pop culture with this move.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
With a guy that was 0-2 in MMA, I'm sorry, 0-1 with a no decision now in MMA, and is appearing on a show on premium cable TV.
It's ESPN Plus, I think it's on, right? I don't even think
Heels?
Oh, Heels. I thought you meant the MMA show he did.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Heels, the show on Stars.
Right, which just came out an hour ago on Stars Network.
I mean, I'm excited to see that show, but not because CM Punk's going to be on it.
It's because you're hoping you'll learn how to be a heel?
I'm hoping I'll learn how to be a wrestler.
Just like James and Harrison.
See, we're going to watch Heels to find Lindsay's dad, because he's in the crowd somewhere.
Hi, Linz! Everybody say hi, Linz.
Hi, Linz.
So, like everyone talked over each other at one point. But yeah, her dad was an extra in Heels, so.
That's cool.
Yeah. But what do you do with Punk? Where do you aim him, Casey?
I mean, I guess it depends on what he wants to do. He's in that position where he can kind of make his own decisions of how involved he wants to be, I guess. And because no one really knows exactly what he's doing in any AEW, regardless of whether or not he's actually going to be there or not. Which, the way they're talking, he probably will be, but once again, it's wrestling, so you believe it when you see it. I mean, if he wrestles, I guess it's just, you know, he's going to probably be able to call his own shots for the most part, I would assume, because that would be the only way that he would sign a wrestling contract. At least that's what he said in the past, right?
Oh, yeah, he wants control of whatever he's doing.
Well, yeah, how soon
he wants that WCW Hogan control.
Brother.
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 Well, I mean, that's fine and dandy. How long do you give it before he wants to set his sights on Kenny Omega?
I give it September 4th, September 5th, whenever All Out is. I mean,
I was going to say, when does he debut? The day after. Let's not kid ourselves here. CM Punk is not coming back to put over Jungle Boy. He's not coming back to have a program with Kip Sabian. Hell, he's not even coming back to fight Sammy Guevara. He's there to main event, probably get the title. As Rock said, they want that pop culture thing, so you're going to want him at the top of the card. And it's only a matter of time until the guys that were brought in originally to help build this company are going to look at him and go, what the hell? Because he's going to want to run the show. And you have him until CM Punk gets bored or gets frustrated, and then he'll do what he's done before. Peace out.
He'll take the Young Bucks basketball and he'll go home.
Touche.
Yeah, okay, but by the time that comes around, what's his reputation in the locker room going to be like?
With that,
well, he won't go near the Dark Order.
Or the doctor's office.
Both are true. I mean, the Elite Boys love him, so...
The Elite Boys love him because he's quote-unquote counterculture, and they're trying to be that, even though they're the kid that gets dropped off from their dad's SUV to buy stuff from Hot Topic to seem edgy.
Yeah.
Like, they so desperately want to be cool and mainstream like Punk was. And they'll have Punk around, and they'll entertain him, and then Punk will start to get that head of, like, I want a main event, and all of a sudden, there's Kenny like, oh, you mean I have to give up my title? Wait, I thought you were cool.
I have to admit, I'm looking forward to a match between Kenny Omega and CM Punk.
I think everyone is, because you want to see where Punk's at in his, you know,
yeah. But the rest of it, yeah. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be holding my breath.
No one. You don't want to see Punk and Cody. It's not a draw for you.
Well, I mean, technically, CM Punk needs to debut against Cody. Isn't that the standard?
Isn't Cody the
doorman of AEW?
That's like the AEW gold standard.
He's their version of Kane, and all the new people come in to fight him before they move into the next spot.
Or Dolph
nowadays. But yeah, so Punk's back Friday. Tim watched Rampage.
I did.
You watched AEW basically for like first time in a long time.
In a long time. And Rampage was buggy.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you and I were discussing it while we were watching the damn thing. What's some of the stuff that I said? It felt like a WWE house show around the 15, 16 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. That's kind of sort of what it felt like. I took some shots at some of the finishes because they were overbooked.
What? No way. They don't overbook finishes. Everything's pure and clean in AEW. Oh, wait.
Bullshit.
Wait. Never mind.
Yeah. How long did it take for them to get that chair up there to set up for that finishing spot to end the match with Christian and Kenny?
I mean, to be fair, it was the Young Bucks, so they were going to milk every second of camera time they could in order to do it.
Which, it just that just took me out of it.
No, the second match is what took me out of it.
Well, no, like the setting up the finish for the first one took me out of the entire show.
Oh, no, I know. I was just saying the second match is what completely got me out of the show.
Brent was mad after this one.
It was pointless. It was absolutely pointless. So let's put it this way. Rock and I are watching this live on Friday. And for those who don't know, Fuego del Sol, which I guess is a poor man's Sin Cara / Kalisto / whatever, has been with AEW for, I believe, a year and a half now. If you looked on the lower third when the man was walking to the ring, he was 1-39 going into this match. He got a TNT title shot. In a company in which they said title shots matter and they don't just hand them out. As part of this, a contract was on the line for AEW. So essentially, the man has been working without a contract for 40 matches.
Yeah, but they do that.
Oh, I know. It's how they get around not releasing people. They just, oh, we never had them on a contract, so whatevs. Dude is essentially part of a 3-minute hope spot, a 1-minute squash, and then lingers in the ring so that they can all do the feel-good moment of him earning a contract. Someone who is now 1-40 earned a contract because he's, quote, over with the fan.
My favorite part is they had to make it clear, this was a shoot. This wasn't planned.
Depending on the report you've read, he's been signed for 2 weeks.
But they had to make it known, it's a shoot.
It was so, so overdramatic. And everyone who's like, it's such a great story. Everyone shit on the fact that Drake Maverick went through the exact same thing with a better bill. But because it's AEW, it's, oh my God, this is the greatest story.
People shit on the Drake Maverick thing?
Oh God, yes. Because number one, he was released. And two, that they used that release for a storyline to bring him back.
I mean, yeah, I would have if he got that kind of, I don't know. I liked it. I guess, I mean, I shouldn't talk. I'm usually in the minority when it comes to thoughts and opinions on stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't know. I didn't mind the Fuego one either. But, I mean, over with the fans is basically like he's got quite an internet following on Sammy's vlogs, which is kind of why I think he got his contract. So he basically... Fuego basically got himself over the way Zack Ryder did 10 years ago.
Didn't he come out and say something like he feels more over without having a contract? Was that something he said?
I think so. And
I forget the exact phrasing of it. I'm going to look it up.
Well, I mean, that's just like that's kind of like an internet community thing, right? Everybody kind of like, oh, give him this, give him that, he deserves it. And then as soon as they get stuff like that, all of a sudden everybody turns on them.
Well, it's the whole indie mentality. It's you like the band before they're popular. And then once they get popular, it's like, oh, well, now I don't like them because everyone does. It's not
cool. Yeah.
The phrase was, the longer they hold it off, the more over it's going to make me. The reason I'm over is because I'm not signed. The people love me so much that they want to see me get the credit I deserve.
Let's just revisit that one line that you had, Brent. The indie mentality. You're on a webcast with an indie wrestler. Ask him about it.
Well, I don't have an indie mentality, though. I just want a wrestle mentality. Well, I'm not the guy to ask. I'm this weird like thing that hangs out in the corner, much like I do here. and usually my opinion on a lot of things is very different from the quote unquote internet wrestling community, indie wrestling community, stuff like that. So, I mean, yes, I can provide you my opinion, but usually it doesn't line up with what the vast majority of people think. So
that's one of the reasons why you're here.
This is that is my disclaimer. I will continue to say that anytime, you know, hot topics come up, I guess.
Well, and plus when I meant indie, I meant like independent movie, independent music as well. Not just independent wrestling, but I mean that applies as well. You know, everyone loves Nick Gage because he's outside the mainstream, but if he got signed to AEW, then it's, oh, well, now he's not as cool cuz he has to, you know, be AEW.
Yeah, he sold out, man.
Yeah, it's cooler when he's, you know, CZ Dub and breaking light tubes every week and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, when you're outside, lo and behold, the guy gets a decent contract, gets to be able to, like, you know, live comfortably and not have to, like, cut people open with pizza cutters all the time. Mm. I'm sure that's something that he enjoys doing, but I'll bet you if you gave him the option to have a slightly longer career with better pay and not have to do that on a regular basis, he might consider it.
Well, you know, being outside of the mainstream and doing all that shit and being cool is great until you start starving to death.
Yeah.
Or you forget to wash your pizza cutter before you use it on a pizza.
Ooh.
That is not special sauce.
No.
Nick Gage has been wrestling for like 20 years. Subway was wrestling him back in the day in Florida. So
does that count his 5-year sabbatical?
It may. It may, in fact, is cover that sabbatical.
Might include it.
Yeah. Sabbatical.
There you go.
You know, when
I mean, it was a forced sabbatical, but still a sabbatical.
There you go.
All right, what is next, Tim?
Well, I have a question for everybody, and for some reason you call it my random question of the week, which makes me assume I got to come up with one of these every week now.
I just needed a header for it, so
there you go. Okay.
What's your question?
Tim asks question here, or Tim says stuff here, or something happens here.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's your placer. Got it. All right. Yeah, watching a match between two wrestlers, it's not really heel versus face. It's not face-face, not heel-heel. It's just a really good wrestling match. But you know for a fact one of them has an ego. Like, not his character, but the wrestler has a bit of an ego. He gets pinned, and as soon as the ref counts 1, 2, 3, he gets his shoulder up. Does that take away from the winner? Kicking out of a pin immediately after the 1, 2, 3.
I mean, there's a perfect example of this from a few years ago.
What's that?
Austin Aries and John Mundo Morrison, whatever his name is now. When Morrison won the Impact World title, he went, delivered Starship Pain. 1, 2, 3. Immediately after that, Aries rolls out of the ring, walks up the ramp, flips everyone the bird, and you just have Morrison standing there like, what the hell? And the fans completely crapped on it. Does it take away from a victory? Yeah, just a little bit.
There is one slightly more famous example than what you just pointed out, Brent.
Okay.
Happened, oh shit, when was it? 1990-something or other, when they were transitioning from Hulk Hogan to the Ultimate Warrior. Title versus title.
WrestleMania 6.
Mania 6, where Hogan was to drop the title to Warrior because they were going to let Warrior carry it for a little while. As soon as the ref's hand hit the mat the third time, Hogan kicked out of the pin. They made a bit of a deal about it. I was watching FYI the other night, and the Ultimate Warrior biography was on, and they made a bit of a deal about that when that happened, and it was like Hogan couldn't accept the loss gracefully.
Well, you know, gotta look strong in a loss, brother.
Here's the thing: if it's done properly, and it's going to depend heavily on the two people in the ring, it's acceptable for the loser to actually kick out as soon as their hand hits three.
There wasn't I don't remember what the match was, but it was like they were playing it off like it was an involuntary spasm where their shoulder like moved after the kick out, after the three count. That's okay, because it's like your body's just doing the motion and you're not trying. It's like, that's okay with it. That doesn't take away with it. That adds to the match itself because of how physical it was. Someone egoing out of it, like, oh, I got to kick out afterwards.
But even Austin and The Rock, Austin jobbed clean.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was his farewell match. But
I mean, that also plays into the idea of what is a finisher. A finisher should lay someone out. That's why it's in the name.
Unless it's a fluke pin.
Right. Well, yeah. I was going to say, like, an example of like one where someone can kick out but it still has a lot of impact is something like when Waltman pinned Scott Hall on Monday Night Raw when it was 1-2-3 Kid and Razor Ramon. It was a surprise pin. Ramon, as soon as that pinfall hit, you know, jerks up like, what happened? But it's still the surprise element, and everyone's like, whoa, and it kind of bought into it. But the second that you see, like, on TV nowadays, if someone's 1-2-3, and then all of a sudden they're up like 10 seconds later, you go, well, how impactful was that move if the guy's able to walk around?
Depending on how they walk around, it'd be staggering. Okay.
Right. Or if it's like he kind of has to go to a corner and is laying there so that the winner can get a little bit of spotlight, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things of, you know, oh, they hit the three count. Oh, wait, he's walking to the back now. Oh, okay.
So, Casey, in all of the shows that you worked in, has anything like this ever happened that you've noticed?
No, nothing like, nothing that stand outy, as far as like, an ego kick out. I think if done on purpose and you have like, you know, two evenly matched guys that have like, you know, really good back and forth match.
Yeah.
And it's done as part of the story, it could work, but that's like a one time out of 10 sort of deal, right?
Well, should that be something that the, sorry to pull back the curtain. Should that be something that the wrestlers work out, or should that be something that the booker says, okay, do this?
Well, I think it depends. That's still very variantly dependent. Like, obviously, if you're looking at more of like a main event program and the booker wants it to happen,
yeah,
and you know, that's something that a booker can say, hey, have this match, make it, you know, basically even across the board, and then at the end have it just like squeak by with a victory, which means, you know, you could hit that finisher or whatever and then have them kick out at the end because, you know, it might have just been like a surprise out of nowhere, so there hasn't been like a wear down. But if it's like earlier on the card, then it could be something like, all right, you two wrestle, this guy's going over, but keep the loser strong. Then I guess you could have it in somewhere there. But there's also like 6 million other ways you can keep a guy strong in a loss other than having him kick out as soon as the three count is made.
Can you think of one perfect example of keeping the loser super strong that we may have seen, say, in WWE, for example?
I don't know if you can use that example in WWE because they just 50-50 book everything.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm thinking of one match in particular where they kept the loser strong, but he didn't kick out immediately after a 1-2-3.
And like I said, you know, having someone kick out immediately after a 1-2-3 isn't necessarily the greatest idea, and you can do a whole bunch of other things to keep a guy strong. Aside from having him kick out right after the three count, there's just, you know, having them, you know, if you have to hit a guy with multiple finishers in order for him to stay down, but he keeps getting up, and that's just an example off the top of my head, or anything like that.
Bret Hart making Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes. And that's a perfect example of keeping a guy strong, like getting a guy over in a loss. That is one of the, that's like one of the best examples, because you have one, you have the double turn, which is insane.
It is like, how often have we ever seen a double turn like that?
Like, that's just a shout out to how good of storytelling those two could have and did have in the ring. Yeah. And then instead of having him tap out, having him pass out, that's a great way to like, well, I mean, he lost, but he didn't tap out. He did not give up. So, you know, that gives the commentators and people a great way to continue telling the story of, well, he's tough as nails because he sat in that finisher for God knows how long and he didn't give up. He literally had to pass out from the pain. His body gave up on him. He didn't give up. So I think that's a way better way to do it than to have someone kick out immediately after a three count.
Yeah, one thing that absolutely surprised me about the entire booking about that, listening to Stone Cold talk about it, the entire thing was Brett's idea. I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Including the blading, including the blood.
Well, and another example of someone going over even in a loss was, what was it, the Elimination Chamber leading up to Kofi Mania?
Yeah.
Yes.
When, you know, he lost that match, and he sold the loss at the very end. But then they had that moment where, you know, he sat at the edge of the cage and you had New Day come out there with him. And the fans were eating that shit up. That got him more over than if he had won the damn match.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then, and that has more to do with, like, what he did in the match as opposed to how it ended, right? Like, you can have a guy work in a match in a way that, like, oh, is he going to get it? Is he going to get it? And, like, keep him strong, even though he lost the way he did. But because of, like, the stuff that someone does in a match, that's gonna elevate you. That can elevate you, too. So tons and tons of ways of getting someone to remain over / strong / not weak without kicking out right after a three count type shenanigans.
Or standing up after a submission or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that is the way to go. To a very, very smaller extent. Is that not something we saw between Charlotte and Nikki? Like, what was it, coming up 3 weeks ago now or 2 weeks or whatever? When Charlotte beat Nikki and Nikki cut that promo?
In a way, kind of.
Would you sort of classify that?
Sort of. Not fully, though.
Nikki had her ass handed to her by Charlotte in that match. Did she look strong at the end of it?
I wouldn't say she had her ass handed to her. I think Charlotte just countered what the move that Nikki beat her with.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know. I'm trying to think it out, Tim. I don't think it fits in that scenario. It's close to put in that scenario, but I don't think that example works, kind of.
Sort of works.
Sort of works, but it's not there completely.
Not exact complete. Fair enough. Yeah. So, you know, that's just something that hit my mind, made me wonder when I was watching the biography, and I was wondering about that, because when I remember seeing it the first time, like when it happened, and I thought it was a cheap bullshit move of Hogan to pull.
I think Tim's random question of the week needs to stay now, because that went over well.
Did you like that?
That worked. We're keeping it. It's going to stay in the format.
Great. Now I got to spend the entire week watching biography.
Well, I mean, you probably can skip. You can skip next week because we got SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So you got two weeks to come up with something.
Yeah.
You've got homework.
There you go. Okay. Fair enough.
There you go.
That being said, it's pretty much time to play our SummerSlam preview and go through pick 'em. But are we going to be taking a short, tiny little break first?
Do you need a break, Tim?
It wouldn't suck to have one.
All right. We'll do that then.
All right. We're going to take a quick little time out. We're coming back. We're going to take a look at my favorite favorite. That's the wrong way of putting it. But the match each one of us is most looking forward to seeing at SummerSlam next week. We're going to talk about those matches and then the entire rest of the card. And, of course, that means we're playing pick, and we want you to play along, too. Pick who you think is going to win each match. You might wind up winning. Sometimes we have prizes for the winners. You never know. You'll have to tune in to find out if you get a prize for SummerSlam. That being said, everybody, go get yourself some refreshments. Stay hydrated. We'll be back shortly. We'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight is Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
Then you are listening to Wild Talk Radio. That really move on. I said chill.
Welcome back to WTR Sunlight Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I hit the wrong button. Shut up. Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's time to talk about SummerSlam and do the pick 'em predictions and shit.
I was doing a countdown with my hand because I was waiting for you to do it, and like he didn't go after five, so it's like, hey, let's bring the show back.
Well, here's the problem. My computer went through another goddamn Skype update, and that little floating window is no longer there every time I switch something else. So if I call up chat and then highlight this here, I don't have that floating window where I could mute and unmute, so I have to go back, and it's just a pain in the ass.
You can go to facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network. Probably at the tail end of this week, as hopefully the full card is what we have to discuss tonight. If they add something tomorrow, we'll add to the thing. So, since Brent's the new one here, Brent, what are you looking forward to most about SummerSlam?
Fans.
I meant the meaning match. Match. What match?
Honestly, one of the matches I'm kind of looking forward to, and I know some people are going to hear it and be like, what? It's actually the U.S. title match.
Why is that?
I'm kind of looking forward to it because you've got it's not going to be your typical kind of Hoss match. I mean, you've got Sheamus, who's built like a brick shithouse, and you've got Damian Priest, who's just as big as him. But the entire build for this has been Sheamus beating up on guys smaller. He's had his quote-unquote invitational, which has been two guys, Ricochet and Humberto Carrillo, and he's just had fun kind of beating up on the smaller guys that can move around a little bit. Then he had someone kind of come out and get in his face, which was Damian Priest, someone he can't just push around. And he can match Sheamus blow for blow in terms of being physical, mm-hmm. but Priest has that added quality of being very agile, And we've seen him do like the run up the ropes and the senton to the outside. He can work a couple of different styles, and it's going to be interesting to see how the writers and how everything put together this match, because it's going to be just strength versus, oh God, in terms of Priest. So it from a visual standpoint and things like that, I think it's going to be a very interesting kind of thing, and see what they do with it moving forward.
Okay. Casey, what match are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. For obvious reasons, those two are very talented wrestlers. They're going to beat the crap out of each other in probably something equivalent to what we saw at WrestleMania. I'm guessing there will be some hair shenanigans one way or another, whether it's Sasha being like, oh, not this time, or something, because that seems to be a small, subtle focal point of their rivalry right now.
So let me ask you this. Should Sasha wear like a bodysuit to protect herself, padding, so she doesn't get whipped? Would that be a good counter?
Or, you know, Friday night, they chop that off in a most drastic of moves.
I don't think they're going to chop it off, because that's kind of her selling point, but...
Oh, it's true. They're not going to, but imagine the shock value if they did.
Oh my God, they cut out her extension. Oh my God.
Yeah, the extension's been cut? Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, if they can figure out some way either Friday or during the match to restrict the hair, then it'll make things slightly different than the Mania match. But I mean, even if they don't, they'll have a great match. So
this one, I already know the answer. Tim, what match are you looking forward to most, and why does it pain you to say it?
Well, yeah, grudgingly, I admit it's Roman Reigns versus Cena. When was the last time Cena showed up and we didn't hear a Cena sucks chant?
A year and a half ago, 16 months?
Like, no.
I answered your question. It was 16 months ago. He showed up. There were no Cena sucks chants.
That is true.
It's a factual statement, Tim. There was no crowd, but there were no chants.
With the crowd.
See, you got to be more specific these days.
No, you got to be less of an asshole. Anyway, yeah, reluctantly. I'm not a huge Cena fan, never have been. But the build-up, the hype for this, the promos these guys are cutting with each other, it got me invested. I'm invested in this match. And I can't help but wonder, like, is this John Cena's goodbye WWE match? He's got all the time in the world on his hands right now. All of his movie commitments are done for the foreseeable future.
Well,
is he available, and will he come back regularly?
I mean, he is scheduled for Madison Square Garden in September.
And after that, he's probably done. He has a UK, he's going to be over in the UK filming in, like, right after SummerSlam.
So
this was a window he had.
Mm-hmm.
This was a window that just so opened up for him to come back.
You know, it just worked out properly, like perfectly. I'm pretty positive that Roman is going to retain the title. But I'm intrigued, I guess, is the best way of putting it. And yeah, that's the match I am pretty much surprisingly most invested in.
Okay, so I'm putting Tim down for Roman Reigns.
Might as well just get it out of the way. Casey, who are you? What's your thinking on this match? Are you invested like Tim is in this one?
I am like Tim, interested to see how the build's been pretty good. I don't think Roman's gonna lose, but I think the build might be slightly better than the match. But it will be. I am very interested to see how the match will go with Roman working as a heel versus babyface John Cena.
So Brian,
but, I mean, Roman's gonna win, but
yeah. So Brian,
the lead up to that is what I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm. So Brian, you're gonna go out on a limb. You're gonna pick John Cena. John Cena's gonna go beat Roman Reigns, right? All right. Come on.
See, I'm kind of actually torn on this one. Only because I don't necessarily think that if Cena wins, it would be a very long run. It would be, you know, short. Number two, it sounds weird saying this, they could get back at a certain someone by having him win a 17th title.
They could.
Just putting that out there. That is one of the claims of fame of someone, and they could dick it to him for going somewhere if they were like, hey, you don't have that claim to fame anymore. Sorry. But part of me also looks at the fact that Roman has had this belt for one full year now.
Just about, yeah.
And we've had Rock and I have had discussions, and it's been talked about on here, the idea of, you know, these long championship reigns that have been happening recently, because Drew held it for a long time, dropped it to Randy, but then held it again for a pretty decent amount of time. And, you know, we've seen other, Walter has had it for like 2 years.
Almost three.
A year and a half.
It's almost three.
Almost three. Jesus. I mean, part of that's COVID, but still, Jesus. But we've seen a lot of these really long title reigns. Punk had it for, you know, a year, year and a half.
434 days or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And these long reigns are good, but at times they need to be every so often, you know, a transcendent person being able to do this. Now that we're starting to get a lot of these people doing these runs, there's nothing wrong with having a couple of short runs in between to build excitement, to have a couple of people hold the belt. I'm not talking about hot-shotting it every 2 weeks, but, you know, a 2 to 3 month title reign, having it drop to someone, is not necessarily a bad thing. So part of me wants to see that. Part of me wants to see Reigns lose it, just because he has been so dominant. I want to see what they would do if the head of the table doesn't have that belt anymore.
Yeah, but does he win it back, or does somebody else take it off Cena?
Oh, he can win it back. He can win it back at whatever the next pay-per-view is, or at Madison Square Garden to make that show special.
Okay, 864 days current for Walter.
864?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ!
Pete Dunne was 685.
Yeah, there's been three UK champions. It's been Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, and Walter forever. But like I said, from a storyline standpoint, if Cena wins, I think it could open something up, because you would have Reigns without the belt being the head of the family, the head of the table, and then his cousins would be sitting there with the tag belts.
Ooh. They did tease that a few months back.
And that could be really interesting. Of Roman has had this power. He's had, you know, full reign over the family. What happens if he drops the belt? Not that it would instantly be like, oh, he's lost power. But what if it's like, you know, you guys let me down. We need to get the family back where it's supposed to be. And then it's, well, Roman didn't lose technically, I guess the Usos did. Wait, and it adds a little bit more dimension to all of that.
Just like how Roman got them the tag team title shot.
Yeah. But you know what? Screw it. I'll go out on a ledge. I'll say John does it, because, I mean, he's got a movie out in theaters. He's got some other stuff. And like I said, he doesn't have to hold the belt long. It can be a 17th title reign that's 3 weeks long, and Roman can get it back at Madison Square Garden. And when that happens, Madison would be happy, because it means their show's a big deal.
You say 3 weeks, it could also be 3 minutes. Someone has a briefcase.
Mm-hmm. And he can go for any of the world titles, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's open to anything.
And just picture, Cena wins, the fans might be like, oh, okay, that's great. What if Big E's music hit? You don't think that there would be a huge pop at that moment? God, this is going to happen?
Yeah, but I also, if Big E's going to cash in a championship, I want it to be against Goldberg, because that's his dream matchup, and I think it'd be hilarious.
Goldberg or Bobby, if Bobby retains. But yeah, that's the cash in I want to see.
But the
I want to see Big E cash in against Goldberg to get his Goldberg match that he wants, and then win the title.
See, the funny thing is, though, we all can kind of see, at least from my point of view, Big E is the kind of person that will call his shot.
Oh, of course he will.
He's going to do the Rob Van Dam, the John Cena of like, no, I want you at full strength.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not going to do this run up behind you with the brief. Well, I mean, first he has to get the briefcase back, because as we saw on Friday, it's kind of gone.
He's got a day. He's got a Friday to get it.
But it's just one of those things, like, I mean, it could happen on Saturday for all we know. It could be earlier in the card. He gets it back. But I see E, even though I think it would be hilarious to watch him, like you said, Goldberg or Lashley or Cena, if he came out to cash in, the fans would just eat it up. Nah, if he's going to cash it in, he's going to cash it in on an announced thing. You know, here, I'm putting this here. We're going to have this match in 2 weeks. You get ready. And then, of course, he wins and gets the big fanfare.
Yeah.
Okay, so you brought up Lashley and Goldberg. I know everyone on this call is really looking forward to this match, right?
Brock, you didn't say his name properly.
The contractual obligation.
Thank you.
Welcome. I know everyone's looking forward to it. Do we have really any insight on this one? Do we care?
I mean, in the words of Big E, it's just going to be two big men smacking meat.
It's two big bald men smacking meat.
Yes, that's, I mean
that
it's going to be exactly what I expect.
Mm-hmm.
Two big guys in there trying to outpower each other. There will be no technical wrestling whatsoever. There will be lots of just forearms flying back and forth.
There's going to be a lot of shoulder in the corner spot.
Better question, over under 5 minutes?
Oh, God, please, under.
Under
please,
5 minutes.
Please, for the love of God.
Right on 5 minutes.
Right on 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, for two reasons. One, I don't think Goldberg's got the stamina to go over 5 minutes. And two, I don't think there are enough towels in the building for Lashley to go over 5 minutes.
I was gonna say they're both gonna be perspiring heavily for this match.
Yeah,
but they're trying to make this interesting with, you know, like Goldberg's son, who, by the way, that kid aged enormously in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it's called puberty. Shit happens.
Well, it was even that. He was like the last time we saw him, which I want to say was what, 3 years ago?
2018. Yeah,
he was a little, no offense, he was a little dumpy, and then all of a sudden, the dude looks like he could play linebacker at Notre Dame.
Well, how old is he now?
12, 13?
No.
I don't know.
That kid they had at Raw was like 15 or 16.
Yeah, so he's kind of hit that age where like you can start training for sports, and when your dad is who he is, you can transform yourself real quick.
15, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, around the table, who you got? Casey.
Lashley.
Brent.
The almighty Bobby Lashley.
Tim.
Yeah, it's Bobby.
Okay. So we heard Casey's take on Bianca and Sasha. Tim, I want to hear your take.
Oh, I'm going to be enjoying this match. No doubt about it. It's probably going to wind up being the match of the night.
Really?
Just like it was when Bianca won the title. It was match of the night then. I don't think that these two are going to take a step backwards after giving us what they gave us in round one. They set a bar, and I'm pretty sure they're going to want to set it higher with this one.
As a booker, where do you place this match up on the show?
Where do I place the match on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Because they got the main event of night one at WrestleMania, and that kind of added to the hype of the match.
Well, this could main event SummerSlam if Cena, if it wasn't for Cena, you know, making a return.
Mm-hmm.
If there was no Cena, this is my main event, just like night one Mania.
But there is John Cena. He's there. Yes,
I know. I'm trying to work through it here. This is something that I would probably start the second half of the pay-per-view with.
Okay, so match 4 or 5. Okay.
Yep, because it's a big deal. It'd be a great curtain jerker if it wasn't for the title, but it is. And we've had other title matches being the opening match. You don't want, as a rule, your number one, like your top tier titles, to open your shows.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, they technically did that at WrestleMania with Bobby and Drew.
They've done it in the past few WrestleManias.
Yeah, I said as a rule, you don't want to do that. But them doing that is just telling me that they currently don't consider the Raw title, the WWE title, one of their top tiers currently.
That's usually semi-main lately.
So.
All right, so that's your thoughts on the match, Brent?
I mean, Tim kind of touched on it. I think they're going to ratchet it up a little bit more from the first match. I think the first match was about getting it in front of the fans and letting them have that main event moment because you saw the emotion there.
It was, but it was award winning in ESPY.
Oh yeah. And I also think though that the match was a little bit hamstrung by the fact that Sasha still kind of had to play a bit of a face in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had Bianca, who was going to be the clear face, and everything was written for her to win. But it's like Sasha was still kind of, she had a little bit of an edge, but she was still towing that line of being, you know, face and friendly a bit. And then after the match, you saw her, you know, with the look, she had the welt. God, she had the welt from from Bianca's hair. But ever since she's come back, she's had that boss edge. And it's not just been the fact of calling her the boss because, you know, it's the cool thing for Michael Cole to yell in her intro. She's had the mentality of, like, this is my damn show. You're in my spot, and I'm going to get it back come hell or high water.
And with Bayley gone, she can now have that top heel spot.
Right, she can be that girl, because Bayley's going to be out for a little while.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But it's like, what it's going to steer towards is an even better match, because now Sasha can turn into it in the match. She can be more vicious, and it won't take away as it may have been if she was trying to still play a little bit of a face role. Plus, Bianca, with the title, puts her in an interesting dynamic of, like, she's now going to be scrapping to keep it. At the first match, she was fighting to get the title, and then she got it, and she had the emotional moment. Now she's fighting to stay on top. And she's had people like Carmella and Zelina, who could make an appearance in this match, you know, going with that target on her back. So, yeah, this does add a little bit more from the first match. And because we've seen what they can do, you know, both of them as performers are going to be like, all right, we need to take this up to the next level, which I'm really excited to see.
All right, going all the way back to Keishi, who wins?
This one is harder. It could very easily go either way. I'm going to give it to Bianca, only by, like, a hair.
Brent, who you got?
I'm going to go with Bianca because she made a statement recently that I actually would not mind seeing. She wants to be the first person to pin all four horsewomen.
Ooh.
And she's already gotten two, and one's on the way. So I would actually like to see her take on that faction. And I think with the belt there, going after someone who is going to be in the main event picture as soon as she comes back to it.
Tim, who you got?
Oh, it's staying on Bianca. She's done great so far with the title. She's over as the champ. It's her time to shine. Sasha doesn't need the belt. She's in the position right now. She's made her bones, and she's going to be better chasing that belt as a heel for the next 11, 13 months.
So we heard Brent's take on Sheamus and Damian Priest. Keishi, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice, fresh matchup that we haven't seen before. That'll be nice. I like Priest's work. I like Sheamus's work. It will be very hard-hitting, like Brent said, because it's a Sheamus match. I think Priest will be able to hold his own. I think it'll be good. Going to say that Priest is going to win his first title.
Okay. What about you, Tim?
Is Priest 100% healed up?
Yes.
Because he has recently been dealing with some nagging injuries.
That was back around WrestleMania.
And so if he's 100% healed up, I could actually see, I could see them giving it to Priest and letting him run with the U.S. Championship. He's been good. He's over with the fans. It might be his time to get made, and Sheamus will do a hell of a job making him.
Yep.
All right. So Brent, who you have?
I'm going to go with Damian, only because you've had Sheamus playing the bully, and ultimately, what's better than the bully getting his comeuppance against the guy just as big as him, and then Sheamus will have to either come back and try and get the belt back, and you've got a little bit of kind of give and take that you can have in that situation, or it frees up Priest to start taking on some other people on the Raw roster, maybe a Limitless person, and oh god, that match would be amazing for the next pay-per-view or two as well.
Okay, really quick, SmackDown tag titles are on the line. The Usos take on the Mysterios in a rematch from Money in the Bank. Keishi?
Usos because.
Tim?
Usos because it actually helps play into the head of the table storyline idea.
Brent.
I've already told you when I talked about Roman and Cena, I want the Usos to win because I want them. I want the first SmackDown after this to be like Cena has the belt, Roman walks out, and you just see the Usos with a little bit of a sly smile on their face like, we have these and you don't.
All right, the Raw Women's Championship's on the line. Nikki Ash, Rhea Ripley, and Charlotte Flair. We know Tim's opinion on Charlotte being in the title picture. So, Brent, your thoughts on the match?
I can safely say I'm not a huge fan of Charlotte as well. I understand why she's there, though, because she's a huge draw for them. So, that can happen. The fact that it's a triple threat is fine just because it allows you to protect who you need to, whether it be Rhea or Charlotte. Ultimately, I think I don't think there's going to be a change in this match, but it also you'll get everyone with a chance to shine here. You'll have Nikki being the scrappy person, although what I could see happen, especially with what they've built up over the couple of months that they've had this trio in its iterations, even before it was Nikki ASH, I could see both Rhea and Charlotte kind of like just chucking Nikki out to be like, look, we're gonna fight, you just stay over there, until Nikki asserts herself and is, you know, no, she's the champion. She's going to fight her way through this. And then I think ultimately, though, she'll pull out a victory here, because even though some people are still shitting on this gimmick, there, you know, she does have the crowd with her. If you look there, she's got the signs. She's got the little girls in her corner. They're going to ride this as much as they can, because there's money there between merchandising and just having her. If you watch her in the interviews, she's a great person to have. She's excited. She carries the belt well. You know, she inspires a new generation of people. It's a win-win in that case.
Casey, what are your thoughts on the match?
I think Nikki will retain. It'll be in a way that, you know, no one lose. Like, everyone will be protected in how she wins, whether it be because, you know, Rhea or Charlotte do the work and she kind of sneaks it out. But I don't think she's going to keep the title for a lot of the reasons that Brent said. I mean, she's very over with the crowd. And I mean, Nikki is putting like 500% effort into this character, and it shows, which is one of the reasons why it is getting over. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't think they're going to kind of brush that aside anytime soon, as long as it's keeping the traction that it is. So she will win, in a way that does not, take away from Rhea or Charlotte, because that's why they have this as a triple threat, in my opinion.
Brent, did you make a pick?
No, I said Nikki ASH.
Okay.
One, a way to protect her, I was just thinking, what if Nikki does like the crossbody / splash when Charlotte has the figure eight on?
That could work.
Yeah, she can go in and do a cover and get three count before Rhea taps out.
Would be a creative spot. All right, Tim.
Well, this character that Nikki's playing right now is actually her own idea, and they said, yeah, we'll give it a try. And, you know, that's a great reason why she's putting so much into it. Like Casey was talking about. If they're not giving the title back to Rhea, then I want Nikki retaining by pinning Charlotte.
Okay.
I've had enough of Charlotte in the title picture.
I get it.
It's the name. Yeah, sure. She's got fans. All right. But she has become the 2009, 10, 11, 12 John Cena for me. Charlotte sucks.
There you go. All right.
Even though she doesn't. Oh. And so, yeah, I'm picking Nikki.
Okay. I was going to say, because you started off with, if they don't put the belt on Rhea, so I was going to be like, wait, which one is it?
That's why I clarified it at the very end for you, Brent.
Thank you.
Makes his job easier. All right.
Yes, it does.
Quickly, Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal. Tim.
Oh, God. Drew McIntyre wins. I can't say anything else because Jinder Mahal is a personal friend of mine.
Will the sword get involved?
We'll see tomorrow.
Is he going to slice somebody up and dice him with the sword? That's the big question about SummerSlam, I think, in this match. All right, Casey, what do you got on this one?
Drew will win and someone will get run through, whether it be Jinder or the two henchmen or a watermelon. Something's going to get run through with the sword.
Well, here's hoping kind of it's the watermelon, because that or, sword, you looks know, like pointy.
Jinder's reckon riding motorcycle will get run through.
It can now be purchased at Target and other toy stores.
It really can. Brent?
Yeah, I think they're going to hinder the gender here, and Drew's going to go over. This has been a feud.
Been something.
It's been there on Monday. That's about, I think, what we can say. Aside from Drew just beating people with poor, was it Shanky?
Think so. That's a terrible name.
Shanky just beating him over and over and over and over and over with a chair. Yeah, I don't understand the thing for tomorrow, where it's like, if gender wins, he gets both guys at ringside. If Drew wins, he gets the sword. But he still technically can't use the sword in a match.
Unless but the ambiance of the sword.
Or legally.
Unless they put the sword on a pole, and there you go.
No. Rock, we are not going Russo here, okay?
They could.
No.
They totally could.
Don't want it.
All right, and then finally it's Edge and Seth Rollins.
Honorable mention of the night for this match.
All right, break it down, Tim.
Well, it's had a good build to it. I'm going to be very, I planned on being very entertained in this match. And, you know, like it's Edge. And Seth Rollins has never been a slouch. This is going to be a good fight. This is the only one I'm having a hard time choosing the winner for.
All right, we'll come
neither back. One of them need it.
No, but we'll come back to who you got in a second. I want to hear Brent's thoughts on this one.
This fight's intriguing for one thing. It's past versus present of the same damn mentality. And they talked about it Friday night on SmackDown.
Yes.
Where it's like, he told Seth, essentially, you're doing what I did 10, 12 years ago, which is true. Seth is the opportunist of today. But at the same time, that also means Edge knows what's coming. So Seth can try and be sneaky, and Edge can just be like, nah, I've already done that. Nah, I know what you're going to do. But at the same point, Seth is going to be ruthless because we've seen that Edge in him. We've seen him, you know, when he takes on Cesaro, he'll do what it takes to win. And
pardon the pun.
But essentially, it's just one of those things of it's going to be a good match. We've seen that Edge can still go. He can go at the level of the guys that he's fighting, which is can't be said for other people that we know of in his orbit. But no, Edge can still go at a very high level, go at a good speed. This match could be a good opener if you want to get the crowd hot, or it could go great in the middle. It's just, yeah, this is going to be a great match. This is going to be something that either guy technically could just walk away, and I think the fans would be pleased no matter how it goes.
All right, Casey, thoughts?
I don't think there's anything left that can be said. Yeah, it's going to be a very good match. I am excited to see it because these two are both very good wrestlers.
Who wins?
I'm gonna say that Edge will win because it's Edge. I don't know. I think they will keep him. If he wins this, like Seth losing could kind of keep the storyline going. Whereas if Seth wins, it's kind of over. So if they want to kind of draw it out a little bit longer, I would give it to Edge.
Brent, you have a pick?
Yeah, kind of along Casey's line. I could see. I'm going to go with Edge because as what happened with Cesaro, when Seth loses, it sends him a little bit further over the edge, no pun intended, and it makes him that much more dangerous because it's one of those Seth wants to prove that he's the top guy, that he deserves the title shot, that he, all of those things. And if Edge beats him, it's one of those kind of like, yeah, nice job, kid, and it will just infuriate him more and drive this forward. Whereas if Rollins wins, if he could just laud it over Edge, like, you know, oh, I beat you, but there's not a lot you can do with that unless Edge goes a little darker and tries to get a, you know, a rematch.
Mm-hmm. Tim, who you got?
Again, this is a tough one to call. Ultimately, the winner are the fans at the end of the day. I think WWE is playing the long game here. They're setting it up for an eventual Seth versus Roman for the title.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, do you take away Seth's heat cleanly? Because isn't that what would happen if Edge wins, right? Mm-hmm. However, if Seth wins, he moves on. What's he got in the pipe? What's he got coming up next? Because it's not time to pull the trigger on Seth Roman. Not yet. You want to hold on until at least November for that one.
Okay, so that SummerSlam.
I didn't pick a winner yet.
I was going to say, Tim, I need a pick.
I thought you were leaning towards a direction. I thought you gave your pick.
I was just trying to think of all the different scenarios that are possible where Edge beats Seth and sets up rematch after, you know, like to keep the confrontation going. Begrudgingly, I'm going to have to say, oh, shit. You know what? I'm going to say this is a DQ.
So Edge by DQ?
I'm going to call this one a DQ. Yeah, Edge.
Edge by DQ. Okay.
Wait, there's no stipulations to this match, is there?
No.
No.
Okay, Edge by DQ.
Okay. That could change Friday. You never know.
That could change Friday, which means that my answer will change Saturday morning.
Which means you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and leave your picks or on a variety of Facebook pages as well.
Yeah, there you go. And that wraps up the program for this evening. Guys, you know, enjoy playing Pick'em, and good luck to all of you with that. In the meantime, like for the rest of the week, it's basically SummerSlam week here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, starting tomorrow night immediately following Raw's post-show.
After 2 weeks off, we're back live. Some say begrudgingly. We're back live, 11 p.m. Eastern for the Raw post-show.
There you go. And once in a blue moon, you'll hear Rock talk about other wrestling promotions like AEW.
I do all the time.
I know that. That would be like Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with the lovely multi-time award-winning Lindsay Ward.
We really don't talk AEW there, but nice try. Yeah,
I tried.
The Rack will be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll preview SummerSlam there. Coming this week, you'll have The Rack Extra Reviews, Madden NFL 22, thanks to our friends over at EA Sports. It's in the game for providing a review copy, so we'll have a review of that this week. Usually on Saturdays at CB Radio. CB Radio is not airing this week. I know. Shocker. Because right after SummerSlam, it'll be the Rack Extra Reviews SummerSlam. So we'll be live then to do that. So two episodes of The Rack this week. Boom.
There you go. Yeah, I won't be plugging CB Radio, but they will return to their regular time Saturday.
But this past week, we did wrestling event names. The week before that, in the Greater Than Great Debate. Brent, what did we do? I forget.
Greatest Heart.
Yeah, so check it out.
The Greatest Heart member.
Mm-hmm. Who won?
In a tournament, we would like to say full credit and thanks go to Lindsay for the
inspiration
of that tournament. Mm-hmm. The Greatest Heart of all time is Melissa Joan Hart.
Awesome.
Second place went to the band Heart. And then tied for third was Natalia and Owen.
Oh, you're barracudas. Anyway, there it is. Yeah, so enjoy SummerSlam on Saturday, which means that we're able to be back live at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern ish. To review ish. It next Sunday night.
Ish. 10-ish. Maybe like 10:30.
Depends when a show goes off the air.
Depends when TakeOver ends.
Oh, yeah, that's right, TakeOver.
So,
immediately following TakeOver, we'll be live talking SummerSlam.
There you go.
All right, so follow me on the Twitter for crazy, silly dad jokes, sports talk, and all that other fun stuff at Flames Forums. If you're in the Calgary area, as far north as, Airdrie, as far south as Okotoks, out to Cochrane in the west, and in the east as far as Chestermere. Follow me on Twitter at Tim's_toolbox. You'll get handyman tips, tricks. You'll get images of the latest work that I've done. You'll get tweets on things that I would be able to be hired to do for you.
If you got junk, he'll remove it for you.
Yeah, free drunk removal for a fee.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, if you've got junk, well, he'll put it in his trunk.
He will.
No.
He will.
It's not a trunk. It's the back of a pickup.
Close enough.
Still have junk in the trunk then, so therefore.
Yeah, I do junk removal as part of my handyman service, starting at $75 a load. Landfill fees start at $25. If what I'm hauling away from you weighs more than a certain minimum, then it's a slight increase. It could be $85. It just, you know, it all depends on what the landfill fees are, but starting at $75, and that's a full truckload, and I could put a shitload of junk in the back of my truck. Careful how you say
that. You're just going to leave it alone at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Where it's WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Casey, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. It's mostly shameless plugging of events that I am participating in costumed murder gymnastics in. So if you like hearing about my costumed murder gymnastics, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver.
That sounds like wrestling.
It may or may not be akin to wrestling.
Because I don't need you dressing up like Leatherface.
No, but it's costumes. There may or may not be murder, and there's some sort of athletic-type, gymnastic-type things.
Are those poor watermelons?
Brent, you're on the social medias. You like to make friends on there.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to find me on Twitter or see all the wonderful friends I'm making from the Echosphere, I mean Twitterverse, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. You can also find me here Saturday nights doing the Intern's Corner on CB Radio, just not this upcoming Saturday. And you can also watch me die first in the group on Fortnite with Friends or raging when we do a 500 level escape room.
Death run. Death run.
Whatever.
Death run.
It felt like an escape room that I couldn't leave.
I think we're done, Tim.
That's it, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Enjoy the programming we got coming up for you this week. Enjoy SummerSlam Saturday night. And we'll talk to you live Sunday night immediately following TakeOver. Have a great week, guys. And gals. And everybody else.
WildTalkRadio.com.